this morning. Actually, a history lesson with Uncle Gary today. Here we go. There's a movie out there about Abraham Lincoln now. There's several movies about this man. There's a great book recently written about Abraham Lincoln. Lots of stuff on Abraham Lincoln. Let's look at it. In God we trust. Don't turn me up too much. Pull me down just a little bit. Testing. How about? Am I too loud? Pull me down just a little. Maybe I'm in the monitors. Pull me out of the monitors or something. It's freaking me out just a little bit. All righty. Here we go. Abraham Lincoln. There he is. Honest Abe. Amen? Are y'all ready to roll? Here we go. The title of my message this morning is Providence and Prayer. And we're going to look at Abraham Lincoln next week, what he believed about the Bible, or did he? Did he go to church? Did he believe in it? Okay? Because we're sent messages. Where if you're in government, you can't say these things, you can't do these things because of separation of what? Church and state. That's something that we hear a lot. Okay? It really doesn't exist in the documents that people quote it as, quite frankly. All right, but that's another story. Let's just look at history. Let's let the men who've gone before us speak to us. Are you ready? Abraham Lincoln, Providence and Prayer. Let's go with it, Raj. Uh-oh, what do we got?
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Was Abe Lincoln honest?
Does this dress make my backside look big?
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you don't want to answer, don't ask. Don't ask Abraham. Maybe don't ask Abe. Here we go. Let's go with the message this morning. Are you ready? Let's learn about this man. Abraham Lincoln, say it with me. He was the what? 16th president of America, United States. Under his courageous leadership, America survived the Civil War and remained the what? The United States of America. Amen. This country's been through a lot of stuff, and we've survived because of God. Abraham Lincoln was a man of highest moral character. We long for that out of our political leaders, don't we say? Come on! That's who he was. He was nicknamed Honest Abe. I mean, can you imagine a president or a great leader in our country? That'd be the first thing you called him every time you come on TV. Honest. There's no honest. It's so much out of our thinking anymore that we think it doesn't exist. He was nicknamed Honest Abe. Abraham Lincoln never lost touch with who? The common folk. That's who he was. From being raised in a log cabin, working at clearing land and splitting rails, Lincoln taught himself law. Taught himself. He gained a respected reputation as a what? Well, that's like almost impossible, isn't it? Quite a man. And he became the 8th Circuit Judge in Illinois. Abraham Lincoln was elected to the Illinois State Legislature, to the United States Congress, and after becoming a national figure through his debate against Stephen A. Douglas, the pro-slavery bill, he was nominated as the what? Republican candidate for what? President. And he was elected. Okay? Only 1 week after he was inaugurated as president, 1 week, the southern states formed the Confederacy. And within a month, the Civil War had begun under this man's leadership. With the Confederate Army firing on Fort Sumter, been there many times, on April 12, 1861. Keep looking. We're learning. Are you going to sleep on me yet? Say, don't go to sleep on me. The Civil War ended 4 years later on April 9th, 1865, with the surrender of General Robert E. Lee to General Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox, Virginia. By the conclusion of the war, I want you to learn this with me this morning. Slap yourself, do something. Here we go. Over a how many? 500,000 men had died. How many died? 500,000 died, which is more than all combined casualties of other wars that America has fought to this day. Over 500,000 died in the Civil War. brothers fighting brothers in our country. 5 days later, on April 14, 1865, after freeing millions of slaves, Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth in Ford's Theater. I've been there. Abraham Lincoln, what a man. What leadership. Incredible. In a memorial address for President Lincoln on April 24, 1865, Speaker of the House, Representative Schuyler Colfax, said about Lincoln, "Nor should I forget to mention here that the last act of Congress ever signed by Lincoln was one requiring that the motto in which he sincerely believed, say it with me, in God we trust, should hereafter be inscribed upon all our national coins." What was the last act of Abraham Lincoln? To put "in God we trust" on our coins. You ought to know that. Don't you think you ought to know that? Say. You ought to know something. And there they are. "In God we trust." There's "in God we trust." Look. "In God we trust." I see it. "In God we trust" up there. Look. Where's that? "In God we trust." This is Lincoln right here. Boom. It's funny. Common man. He gets to penny, don't he? Say. That's all right. I think he'd be happy with that. Amen? "In God we trust." So who signed that? Somebody tell me. Abraham Lincoln, and was it his last piece of legislature he signed? Somebody tell me. Yes. Amen. What did Abraham Lincoln believe? And I hope you'll stay with me this morning. What did he believe about providence and prayer? Providence. What is providence? Providence is that there's a... Well, let's look at it. Thank you. Providence is divine guidance or care. He believed that there was the power of God that was sustaining and guiding human destiny. You understand? He believed in the providence of God, that God was sustaining and directing events somehow, some way. He believed that. Providence. I say he believed that. Let's see. These are all things from Abraham Lincoln. In answering a question of L.E. Chittenden, Register of the Treasury, President Lincoln expounded. Now listen. That the Almighty does make use of human agencies, and He directly intervenes in human affairs, is one of the plainest statements of the Bible. I've had so many evidences of His direction. So many instances when I've been controlled by some other power than my own will, that I cannot doubt that this power comes from where? Above. Flat out writes it, says it, believes it. Amen? I frequently see my way clear to a decision when I have no sufficient facts upon which to found it. But I cannot recall one instance in which I have followed my own judgment, founded upon such a decision, where the results were unsatisfactory. Whereas, in almost every incident where I've yielded to the views of others, I have had occasion to what? Regret it. When I trust providential hand of God in my life and making decisions, I've seen it all come out good. When I trust what old so-and-so dad said down the hall or what have you, ain't been too good. That's what he said. Is that right? I'm satisfied that when the Almighty wants me to do or not to do a particular thing, He finds a way of letting me know it. That sounds arrogant, doesn't it? Not to me. I'm confident it is His design to restore the Union. He will do it in His own good time. Aren't you glad we had somebody like that? Not just putting his finger up somewhere and just checking out what the will or whatever was. Say, trust in God. We're here today because of this man. Y'all understand that, don't you? Because of his leadership, trust in the Lord. And don't just think about our country. Think about your life, your house, the way you make decisions. Man, it's good stuff. That's why you need the Bible. You need to read your Bible. Why do I need to read the Bible? So you can give God something to work with. So many of us are so screwed up with views that we've learned. Our own crazy head, television, teaching that's not right. When you put the Bible in there, then you start to believe God and follow God and trust God. It's amazing how that when I hide God's Word in my heart, I do that so I might not sin against Him. Amen? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto to the what? To the Word. God can providentially work in your life if you start understanding and believing the Word. Why do we teach the Word here on Sunday? It ain't everything that you need. You need to do it on your own. But why do I do that? To give you some ammo, baby. Amen. Say. Why do I memorize Scripture personally? I guess I was around before the computer came out. I think I was. But I was one of those guys that didn't want to use a computer. I ain't going to use a computer. I'm from the country. So I'd write down verses on 3x5 cards and keep them in my pocket, put them in my glove box, and, you know, and things like that. And I'd pull them out and I'd learn Scripture, learn Scripture, learn Scripture, learn Scripture, learn Scripture. Why? So I could brag about it years later? No. So that I could have things hid in my heart that I might could live life that give God something to work with. You understand? Yes or no? Something's got to counteract that crap that we got up there. Y'all listening? Providence. President Lincoln declared to a delegation from Chicago, I hope it will not be irreverent for me to say that if it is probable that God would reveal His will to others on a point so connected with my duty, it might be supposed He would reveal it directly to who? Me. People trying to tell Him what to do. For unless I'm more deceived in myself than I often am, it is my earnest desire to know the will of Providence in this matter. And if I can learn what it is, say it with me, I'll what? I'll do it. What a great leader. Providence. On October 1862, President Lincoln confided with Eliza Gurney and three other Quakers. If I had my way, this war would have never been commenced. If I had been allowed my way, this war would have ended before this. But we find it still continues, and we must believe that He permits it for some wise purpose of His own. Mysterious and unknown to us, and though with our limited understanding we may not be able to comprehend it yet, we cannot but believe that He who made the world governs it. Doesn't it make you feel better at night, say? When you can know that a God like that, you've got your trust in a God like that in Providence? We're indeed going through a great trial, a fiery trial. In the very responsible position in which I happen to be placed, being a humble instrument in the hands of our Heavenly Father, and as I am, and as we all are, to work out His great purposes. I have desired that all my works and acts may be according to who? His will. That it might be so, I have sought His aid. Amen. Sounds like I'm talking about another planet, doesn't it? In December of 1862, President Lincoln related to J.A. Reed, I hold myself in my present position and with the authority vested in me as an instrument of what? Providence. I have my own views and purposes. I have my convictions of duty and my notions of what is right to be done. But I am conscious every moment that all I am and all I have is subject to the control of a higher power. And that power can use me or not use me in any manner. And at any time, as in His wisdom and might, may be pleasing to Him. Incredible, huh? This is how we're to live our life too. Amen? What happens when you've tried so hard with a situation, you can't figure it out, you can't work it out, you feel like a failure? I'm telling you what, God loves you. You can trust Him if you'll follow Him. Doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen. Doesn't mean hard times aren't going to come your way. But I still believe in Providence too. I believe there's a God who loves me and understands me and cares for me. And you know what I've learned in my struggles? He will never leave me nor forsake me. Say that with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Come on, one more time. He will never leave me nor forsake me. First thing Satan does when we go through troubles, he puts on us that God doesn't care for us. Just so that we won't be listening to that voice. Those Scriptures coming alive in us, and that we'll self-destruct. That's not God's will. Providence. Isaiah, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. One of the greatest verses on providence in the Bible. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God. The king's heart, say it with me, is in the hand of the... And as the rivers of water, say it with me, He turns it whithersoever He... will. Now, you can believe that or not. I believe it. You listening? I get frustrated by it. You ever think God ought to act quicker than He does? Say, sure. I'm glad you're not God. Aren't you glad I'm not God? I'm telling you that right now. But God's in control. We got to believe that. Near the end of December 1862, President Lincoln spoke with Reverend Byron Sunderland, pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C., where Lincoln attended what? So did Lincoln go to church? Somebody tell me.
Yes.
The ways of God are mysterious. This is Lincoln writing. The ways of God are mysterious and profound beyond all comprehension. Who by searching can find him out? God only knows the issue of this business. He has destroyed nations from the map of history for their what? Did Lincoln say that? He sure did. Nevertheless, my hopes prevail generally above my fears for our republic. The times are dark. The spirits of ruin are abroad in all their power. And the mercy of God alone can what? Save us. Am I boring you to tears with our great country and some of our great leaders? Is this just killing you today? June 1863, just weeks before the Battle of Gettysburg, a college president asked Lincoln if he thought the country would survive. Lincoln replied, "I do not doubt that our country will finally come through safe and undivided, but do not misunderstand me. I do not rely on the patriotism of our people." Did you hear me? He said, "I do not rely on the patriotism of our people, the bravery and devotion of the boys in blue, or the loyalty and skill of our generals." Say it with me. "But the God of our fathers, who raised this country up to be the refuge and asylum of the oppressed and downtrodden of all nations, will not let it perish now. I may not live to see it. I do not expect to see it. But God will bring us through safe." What a leader, huh? Not very well schooled, was he, say? Log cabin, taught himself law. Never got out of contact with the common man. On October 24, 1863, Lincoln said in a speech to the Presbyterians of Baltimore, "I've often wished that I was a more devout man than I am. Nevertheless, amid the greatest difficulties of my administration, when I could not see any other resort, I would place my whole reliance in God, knowing that all would go well and that He would decide for the right." Did Abraham Lincoln believe in providence? Somebody take a wild guess. It's funny, ain't it? Sometimes to get somebody's belief in politics nowadays, we get one little quote from somewhere, and that sort of defines who they are and what they believe on an issue. You look up Abraham Lincoln on providence, I could bore you to tears for a whole day or two or three or four or five. I've just given you a little stuff on the screen today. You understand? In speaking to a minister of the Christian Commission, an organization that ministered to the soldiers during the Civil War, President Lincoln said, "If it were not for my firm belief in an overruling providence, it would be difficult for me in the midst of such complications of affairs to keep my reason on its seat. But I am confident that the Almighty has plans and will work them out. And whether we see it or not, the outcome will be best for us." Wouldn't we do well to have beliefs like that, guys? Yes or no? In our own life and the struggles that we have, to know that, like Mama believed, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. One of the greatest verses on providence in the Bible. Amen? Romans 8:28. Providence and prayer. We got just a couple of minutes left, Raj. We ain't going to make it far on this one. Did he believe in prayer? The Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth" what? "Much. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." The Bible tells us. Did Abraham Lincoln believe in prayer? President Lincoln once told Noah Brooks, a Lincoln biographer, the following, "I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day." Did he pray? Are you kidding me? Did he believe in prayer? Absolutely. To the Union Army, which was defeated in the Battle of Bull Run, Lincoln declared the fourth Thursday in September the 26th, say it with me, as a national day of what? And what? I mean, we're talking national leaders, President of the United States, declaring national days of prayer and fasting in our country. You can't do that. Separation of church and state. And by the way, Jefferson's the one who said that way long time before Lincoln ever came along. Obviously, it didn't mean what it meant, or it didn't mean doodly squat to Lincoln. You understand? He didn't mind calling on prayer at all. It's fit and becoming in all people at all times to acknowledge and revere the supreme government of God, to bow in humble submission to His chastisement, to confess and deplore their sins and their transgressions. He didn't just call for prayer. He called for us to repent of our sins. Isn't that crazy, say? Somebody said that, government, how dare you tell us to do that? You see what we'd say, yes or no? Am I making you mad at me? Keep reading. In the full conviction that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Proverbs. And to pray with all fervency and contrition for pardon of their past offenses and for a blessing upon their present and prospective action. And whereas when our beloved country, once by the blessings of God united, prosperous and happy, is now afflicted with faction and civil war, it is peculiarly fit for us to recognize the hand of God in this terrible visitation and in sorrowful remembrance of our own faults and crimes as a nation and as individuals. Can you imagine such a thing? To humble ourselves before Him and to what? Sounds like 2 Chronicles 7:14 he's quoting almost. To humble ourselves before Him and to pray for His mercy, that the inestimable boon of civil and religious liberty earned under His guidance and blessing by the labors and sufferings of our fathers may be what? Restored. Amen. Prayer. Did he believe in it? Somebody asked me, and you think Abraham Lincoln believed in prayer? Say. Can't pray. Can't pray at ball games. Can't pray in school. Can't pray. You know, Abraham Lincoln, it would just be going, what are you people doing? You think he'd be talking like that? Yes or no? This is where you came from, people. This is who you are as believers in Jesus Christ. Good stuff. March 30th, 1863, President Lincoln issued an historic proclamation appointing a national fast day. That's funny. Whereas the Senate of the United States devoutly recognizes the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God in all the affairs of men and of nations, and has by resolution requested the President to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and what? Humiliation. Oh, you can't say that. Little Johnny won't feel good about himself. Abraham Lincoln believed we all sinned and came short of the glory of God. Abraham Lincoln believed we made bad choices and we need to confess it and ask God to help us. Because you know what? That's reality. We do all do that. We can wish it away. We can come live in a fantasy land and watch our country go to hell in a handbasket. Or we can rest under the providence of Almighty God and believe in Him. You hearing me today? And whereas it's the duty of nations as well as of men up to their own dependence upon their overruling power of God to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and what? We don't just repent or crawl on glass just so we feel bad. No, you repent so you can be forgiven. Amen. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, He is what? Faithful and what? Just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Why in the world wouldn't we do that? We're crazy to not confess our sins, aren't we? Say, church, say. I say it often, I'm going to keep saying it. If you want to go to a church where the pastor doesn't have to confess sins, you need to find another church. I sin daily, I sin regularly. Y'all listening or not? I struggle. I struggle with my thought life. I struggle with saying things I shouldn't. You understand? Yeah. The Bible says, be not many masters. The word is actually pastors in the New Testament. It says, be not many pastors, for you're going to get the greater judgment because you run your mouth so much. Amen. We got to quit. We'll read this last one. To recognize a sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by history. Say it with me. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can we say it again? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. One more time. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Quick review. Did Abraham Lincoln believe in providence? Did Abraham Lincoln believe in prayer? Was he afraid to write about it, talk about it, speak about it? or do it. No. This is Abraham Lincoln. This is his own words. You can go to Wikipedia. You can Google it. You can find this exact stuff that I found. It's as plain as a nose on your face. This is where we came from. In God, we trust. Amen. Let's praise the Lord for our country and for good people who serve. Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you.